The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good, and Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm so glad to be with you all tonight. It's going to be a great show. I'm excited. We're going to talk about a subject that we don't talk about often enough. Let me just say it that way. And Gary is going to be my bouncing wall, and we're going to see how much he knows about this subject. Are you ready, Gary?
Oh, boy.
Praise the Lord. We're going to have a good show tonight. Praise God. I'd love to have you call in right now or email us in studio101@gmail.com. That's in studio101@gmail.com. And if you have a Bible question, a praise report, testimony, if you have a prayer request, email me right now in studio101@gmail.com. If you want to get live on the air with me, you can simply send an email to instudio101@gmail.com, put in the subject Zoom, and we'll get you on the air with us. Praise God. Let me give Gary access before I forget. Bless the Lord. And I'm just excited. God is good. You know, the world is getting darker by the minute, it seems. But the kingdom of God is getting brighter and more revelation is being revealed, and God is doing great things in this hour. Where iniquity does abound, grace does much more abound. So what are you going through right now? What's going on in your life? What situations are you dealing with? And what does the Word of God say about it? We can find out together by simply emailing me in studio101@gmail.com. As always, we're going to pray, and then we're going to read our foundation text. I'd love to hear from you tonight. You can email me right now in studio101@gmail.com. We will answer all your emails tonight live on the air. Praise God. So email me in studio101@gmail.com. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory and honor and praise tonight. We thank you for your love, your faithfulness, your goodness, your mercy. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. Lord, you are good all the time. Your mercy endures forever. You are faithful to 1,000 generations, and your word is always true, and your word is always working because all of your promises in Christ are yes, and in him they are amen. So we thank you tonight, Lord, for a flow of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for taking us in the direction that you would have us to go. And we covenant with you in advance to give you and you alone all the praise, all the honor, all the glory in the holy, mighty, matchless name that's above every name, Jesus of Nazareth, and by his precious blood. And everybody in agreement shouted amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. So let's read our foundation text. Grab that link tonight, by the way. If you're watching on Facebook, a big shout out to you. I'll check Facebook in just one second. I'm sending out a few text messages myself with the link tonight so that everyone can jump on board. Praise the Lord. And so grab that link, send it out to your friends on whatever applications you communicate with them. Praise God. And let's read our foundation text. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. And it says, I exhort therefore, no, it doesn't. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So it's always a reminder of how faith works. Why do we always talk about faith on this show, Gary?
Well, that's what this is all about.
Because it's what it's all about. The show is called the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio. And the reason we talk about faith so much is because the only way that you can please God is by faith. That's the only way. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that comes to God must first believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we need to major on faith because we don't receive from God without faith. We don't please God without faith. We don't win and get victory in our life without faith. And so faith is this simple concept of believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. But you know, Gary, people get so confused about faith. They think that faith has to do with how you feel. They think that faith has to do with what you see, but faith has nothing to do with any of those things. Faith is in the realm of the spirit. It's the spirit of faith. And the way that the spirit of faith works is you believe in your heart and you say with your mouth. Mark 11:25, Jesus said, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have what you pray. And in verse 24, he says, verse 22, have faith in God. Then he says, if you say unto the mountain, say, not pray, say, speak to the mountain, mountain be removed, be cast into the sea, doubt not in your heart, but believe that those things that you say will come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. And so faith has to do with what you say, not necessarily what you pray. Now, prayer is communication with God, and it is vitally important. Without prayer, we are not connected to God. We don't have a relationship. Let me say it like this. We don't have a fellowship with God. Now, relationship with God is connected to our position with God. Once we're born again, once we become a child of God, that's a relationship that's been established. We're his children and he is our daddy. But fellowship has to do with communication. And that's what prayer is. Back in the 80s, I guess, maybe even the 70s, Pastor Buddy Harrison said this. He said that fellowship is two fellows in the same ship. And that would be the same with God. It's you and God in the same ship. Now, what's interesting about a boat, Gary? A boat is a place where we're together, but what else is significant about a boat?
It floats.
Yeah, it's a form of transportation. Yeah. So in a boat, you're getting somewhere. You're going somewhere. And so when you're in the boat with God, you're saying, God, I am together with you. I'm walking with you. I'm transporting with you. I'm going where you go. And what is God saying? I'm going where you go. You're saying, I'm going where you go. And God say, I'm going where you go. And so it's this partnership, and that's what fellowship is all about. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. Koinonia means partnership, fellowship. It means togetherness. And so we understand that when we're walking with God, it's not all of Him and it's not all of us. It's walking together. I love in the Old Testament, he says, come, let us reason together. Your sins are like crimson, but I'll make them white as snow. God said, let's reason together. Now, there's nothing that we can do about our sin. And yet God says, let's reason together. And so God has made a way for us. He is the way maker. He is the miracle worker. He is the promise keeper. He is the covenant maker. He is the mighty God who says, I love you more than your mistakes. And he's the same one that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Praise the Lord. And so without faith, you can't please God. Faith is required to receive anything from God. Now, I want to talk about a subject that we don't hear a lot of people talk about. And I'm going to bounce some stuff off Gary to get his perspective, because I know that, you know, what Gary will respond with will be where a lot of us are. And so let me ask you this, Gary. I want to talk about this subject, the fear of the Lord. How much have you heard about the fear of the Lord?
I haven't heard a lot, but I understand that people say, I fear the Lord because if I do wrong, he is not happy. He's not happy with us sinning.
Okay. Okay. So what would be your definition of fear when it comes to fearing the Lord? Do you think there's different definitions of fear or different kinds of fear?
Yes.
So when we talk about the fear of the Lord, how would you define that?
I would say fearing the Lord that I am not pleasing him in his word.
So what would be another synonym for fear?
Afraid.
Okay. Another one?
Scared.
Okay. And the more I study this, I would not discount any of those words. But there is another really good word for fear when it comes to the fear of the Lord. If you were called before the prime minister and you were called to go into Mr. Trudeau's office, what kind of feeling would you have when you were in that atmosphere? Now, I'm not talking about his politics.
Yeah.
I'm talking about his position.
Odd, anxious.
Okay. Would you stand up?
Yes.
And what would be the reason you would stand up?
Supposed to respect him.
Respect.
Right.
Honor. So the word I was looking for is the word reverence.
Okay, reverence, sure.
Yeah, so reverence is another word for fear. But the more I study this, man, there is a reason to be scared. Because he is the Almighty God. Now, we as his children, we're not to be scared of him. But the fear of God should teach us that he is the holy, almighty, all-powerful, living, only God who created everything. Everything. And he can destroy everything, and he will destroy all of the wicked. So when the Bible says, you know, when the children of Israel had rebelled against the Lord, and they had chosen to follow after the God, why am I drawing a blank? Bless the Lord. Just drew a blank, following after another God. And there was this standoff. It was King Ahab and Jezebel, and they were following after the gods of Jezebel. And these, there were all the prophets, Baal, 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 Baal. And Baal was this false god, really a demon spirit, and they were following after this demon spirit. And the Lord came unto Elijah and said that there's going to be a famine in the land because of this idolatry. And the famine was for 3.5 years, and very many people died. They got to the point where they had absolutely nothing. And after 3.5 years, Elijah came back and appeared before Ahab and said that there is going to be a standoff. There's going to be a time of challenge, and you call upon your God, and I'm going to call upon the God. And they got all their prophets together, and they began to cry out to Baal to respond and burn up the sacrifice with fire, and nothing was happening. And they started yelling, and they even started cutting themselves and doing all this stuff, and nothing happened. And then finally, Elijah called upon the name of the Lord. And what he had told the children of Israel is he said, choose this day whom you will serve. If God be God, serve him. And if Baal be God, serve him. And then when Elijah called upon the name of the Lord, he answered by fire and consumed the sacrifice, consumed the hundreds of gallons of water that were all poured on the sacrifice, and just licked all of it up by fire. And then Elijah had the prophets of Baal executed right there. Why did he do that? He did that because he feared the Lord. And then what came upon the children of Israel? The fear of the Lord, and they repented. The fear of the Lord is one of the most important gifts that we can have operating in our life. Now, it's not a gift of the Spirit. It's not the gift of salvation, but the fear of the Lord is a very important element. And I'm searching for the right word to describe the fear of the Lord. I know there is a right word, but the fear of the Lord will cause you to depart from evil. It will cause you to walk right. It'll cause you to walk by faith. It'll cause you to walk in the love of God. And a lot of what's missing in the body of Christ today is the fear of the Lord. There's no, you know, what do we have going on in the schools, Gary? I mean, why do these kids do what they do to the teachers? They bring guns into school. They bring drugs into school. They have sex in the bathrooms. They do all kinds of stuff. What is lacking from them?
Well, discipline.
Yeah, they don't have any fear. Yeah. They have no reverence for society. They have no reverence for rules or reverence for laws. They just think that they can do whatever they want. And what do we call that?
They feel they're what do you call it?
Superior.
Yeah, I was thinking of another word.
It's rebellion.
Yeah.
And there's a word the Bible uses, which is lawlessness. And do you know what spirit this is called in the Bible? Lawlessness?
No.
It's the spirit of Antichrist.
Okay.
Antichrist is the spirit that Satan operates by. It's Antichrist, anti-anointing, and it's lawlessness. It's coming against everything that God stands for. And again, God gives people a choice, just like Elijah did. He said, I set before you this day. In Deuteronomy, God, through the prophet Moses, he said this, I set before you this day blessing and cursing, life and death. Therefore, choose life. I give you a choice, and then I tell you what to choose. Elijah said this, choose this day whom you will serve. Make a choice. Because ultimately, all of us individually, every single human that has ever lived individually is going to stand before the Almighty God. And if people really believed that, Gary, do you think it would change the way they lived?
If they really believed it, yes.
Yeah. Now, who do we consider the father of faith? Who's the father of faith in the Bible?
I would say
it's in the book of Genesis.
Abraham.
Exactly. So listen to this story from Genesis 22, verses 9 to 14. Now, when I say story, this happened. This is not a make-believe or a parable. This actually happened. Genesis 22, beginning with verse 9. And they came to the place. Now, remember that God told Abraham that I am going to give you a son, and I'm going to make a great nation of you. And your son is not going to come from anybody except your wife. Not going to come from, I'm drawing blanks tonight for some reason. It's not going to come from Sarah's maid. It's going to come from Sarah. And so God changed Abram's name to Abraham, changed Sarai's name to Sarah. And then he brought forth a son. And then God told him between 13 and 17 years later, he said, now offer up your son unto me as a burnt sacrifice. Now, do you know what that would mean, Gary, to offer him up as a burnt sacrifice?
To kill him.
To kill him like a lamb. You know, like you offer up a lamb as a burnt sacrifice, and burnt sacrifices were typically for sins. That's why you would kill an animal as a sin offering. And so he told him to go where I show you to go, which is Mount Moriah, and bring your son and slay him and burn him as an offering. And so we'll pick up here in verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, which is Mount Moriah, and Abraham built an altar there. Now, what's an altar for? An altar is for a sacrifice, to burn it. And he laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took a knife to slay his son. So now get the picture. This is his beloved son. He has loved this boy. He believed God for this boy for many, many years. He now had this boy. This boy is the center of his life. He loves this boy. His name is Isaac, which means laughter. And now God tells him, I want you to kill him. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. I don't know, Gary, how many of us would be able to do that?
Not many.
But see, What made it different is that Abraham had a relationship, a fellowship, a partnership with God. He had seen God do miracles. He had seen God always be faithful to his word. Now, is God a man that he should lie?
No.
And he's not the son of man that he should repent. So if he told Abraham that in you, I'm going to make a great nation, and your son is going to continue on this legacy, then what do you think Abraham believed if he was going to sacrifice him? Then if the promise was going to come from Isaac, what was God going to have to do?
At the last minute.
No, forget about the last minute. Abraham was about to kill his son. So as far as Abraham was concerned, he saw his son dead. So if the promise is going to come from Isaac, what is God going to have to do?
Keep him alive.
Well, or let's say he kills him.
Bring him.
What's
back
God
to
going
life.
To have to do?
Bring him back to life.
Bring him back to life. What did God do with his son?
Same thing.
See, he had to find a man who would do what God would do. God was willing to love the world so much that he would give his only begotten son, so that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And now we've got the father of faith, Abraham, who had such a close relationship with God that he was willing to do whatever God told him to do. That's faith. That's faith. And that was such a high level of reverence and honor for God that, God, I don't get it. I don't feel it. It's going to crush me emotionally. But because you told me to do it, I'm going to trust you. Now, here's the thing. God's not going to tell anybody today to kill their children. So don't think for a minute that God is telling you to kill your children, because he ain't going to do that. The Bible is very clear today that we have the Word of God that is the will of God that will correspond to anything that God speaks to your heart. If God says something to you to do, you can find it in the Word of God. And Jesus even experientially displayed that when he was in the wilderness and other times. And he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. In other words, the written Word of God, which came from holy men who gave the Word of God, we can find whatever God would say to you. We can see it as a witness in the Bible. And so God's never going to tell you to kill your child today. That was a different time and a different thing regarding Abraham and regarding Jesus. But today, God may ask you to do things that will cause wires to go crazy in your head. And yet, if you can find it in the Word and have a confirmation from the Spirit of God inside your heart, then you know it's God. And it's always going to line up with the Word of God, with the Word of God. And so verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. We're in Genesis 22, verse 11 now. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. And so God saw Abraham's heart. Now, the book of Hebrews tells us that Abraham had already received Isaac raised back to life in a vision. He saw Isaac raised from the dead. And so God revealed unto him that his will doesn't change, even though what he may tell you may be just totally mind-boggling. He may tell you to do something that is mind-boggling. Now, remember, it's always going to line up with his word. Now, Abraham didn't have the Bible, but Abraham had God speaking to him and teaching him. Remember, Genesis 22 comes after Genesis 12. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. There were years and years of relationship and fellowship and experiences that Abraham had with God. And Abraham saw and understood who God was, what God was able to do, what God wanted to do. And so Abraham wasn't confused when God told him. It wasn't like, I wonder if this is God. I wonder if this is what he's telling me. He knew it. He absolutely knew it. And that's where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word from God. He heard from God, Romans 10, 17. He heard from God. It produced faith on the inside. But now, in order for that faith to actually be faith, he had to put corresponding action with it and be a doer of the word. Is this making sense, Gary, or am I boring you?
No, I love it.
Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So the word fear, he said, now I know that you fear God, is the Hebrew word yare. Yare means fearing, morally, reverent, to be afraid, to fear, to be fearful. It means to have reverence. The Mounses Dictionary says it means to be afraid, to be frightened, to revere, to respect, to be in awe, to see something as awesome, dreadful, Frightened, terrified, intimidated. In some contexts, fear relates to terror and fright. In other contexts, fear relates to honor, respect, and awe, as in the fear of the Lord, afraid, fear, and worship. Now, what does sin do to our fellowship with God, Gary? Sin cannot change your relationship. Remember, your relationship is a father and son relationship. Sin at this juncture, during this time period, as long as you are alive here on the earth, if you are born again, sin is not going to change your relationship, because God said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. But what does sin change?
It separates you.
It separates you from the presence of God. Now, here is an awesome, let me see if I can find it real quick. Here is an awesome definition of the fear of the Lord. If you're at home, write this down. Boom, 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 boom. The fear of the Lord means to be terrified of being separated from the presence of God. To be terrified of being separated from the presence of God. I'm trying to, you know, think of a natural example. And the only example that I could really think of would be a relationship with a husband, wife, or with a parent and a child. And it would be this gut-wrenching emotion of doing something that would sever that relationship so that you would never see that person again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
And so the fear of the Lord, something just happened to my microphone. There we go. The fear of the Lord is to have this gut-wrenching terror, or this gut-wrenching feeling that what I do would separate me from God, would take his presence away from me. And for a believer, one of the most important things to us is his presence, and that's who God is. You can't separate God from his presence. And the presence of God is peace. The presence of God is joy. The presence of God is everything good. But the opposite of that is darkness, is fear. Now, this is a different fear. This is a phobia fear. This is a being afraid of things hurting you. We're not talking about being afraid of God. We're talking about being afraid of things hurting you. And that's what happens when we operate in sin, is sin separates. That's why 1 John 1:9 says that if you'll confess your sin, God will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Well, the moment that he cleanses you from all unrighteousness, you're back in right fellowship, two fellows in the same ship with God. Amen. All right. Any questions, Gary?
No, not at all.
All right. Let's look at some verses now on the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8:13. Just write these down, saints. This will help you. I'm going to go through as many as I can. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Deuteronomy 6:24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. See, when you fear God, he's able to preserve us alive. When you fear God, he's able to pour out his blessings. Psalm 31:19, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. Psalm 67, verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations of the earth. Selah. Pause and think about that. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. The word delight means to become moldable and pliable. In other words, to change into who God says you are and what God tells you to do. Psalm 115, verse 13. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. Remember, God is not a respecter of persons. What he'll do for one, he'll do for another. Whether you think you're great or you think you're low or whatever, God doesn't look at you the way man looks at you. Psalm 128, verses 1 through 4, a song of ascents. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Do you want to be blessed, Gary?
Yes, of course.
He says the way you're going to be blessed is to fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. You know, sometimes what happens is we hear some of these verses and sometimes we think to ourselves, you know, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. I wish I could have. I would have is not going to help. What you would have done, what you could have done, what you should have done is not going to help. So to sit around and feel condemned or feel guilty or feel bad about what you would have done, what you could have done, or what you should have done is not going to help you. What you have to do is make a decision from this moment forward to let the past be in the past. I'd like to say it like this. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not here yet, but this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad. I'm not going to get caught up in letting my past be an anchor to pull me down into condemnation. I'm not going to let my future scare me in a negative way because I know that God is with me right now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. I'm going to obtain a good report by walking by faith today, not allowing my past to anchor me down and not allowing my future to scare me. So if you got stuff that you're thinking about that you wish you would have done this or could have done that or should have done that, that all may be true, but none of that is going to help you. What's going to help you is to make a decision that from this day forward, I'm going to walk in the fear of the Lord. From this day forward, I'm going to put God first in my life. From this day forward, I'm going to stop doing the things that don't please him. I'm going to stop doing the things that bring, you know, shame and condemnation, and I'm going to make a decision to serve the Lord one day at a time. Now, listen, when you make that decision, you're going to mess up. You're going to fall. The Bible says in Proverbs, a just man falls seven times, but he gets back up. So don't let yourself get beat up because you mess up. Just don't stay down when you fall. You can't keep a good man down. When you fall, you get up. I love Micah 6. He says, rejoice not against me, O my enemies, for when I fall, yet shall I arise. I'm not staying down. I'm getting up. Why? Because the Lord is on my side, and I love God, and he loves me. He knew my failures. He knew my mistakes. He knew every situation I was going to be in. He knew every bad thing I was going to do, and yet he said, I love you. You're my son. I've chosen you. I've called you. I've ordained you. Now just trust me and follow me. And so even though I may mess up, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to trust him and I'm going to walk with him. Even when I mess up, I'm going to get back up. I'm not going to allow my failures to be an anchor to my soul to pull me back. I'm going to allow hope to be an anchor for my soul, an expectation of the goodness of God. The Bible says that we will see his glory. The Bible says that we will be changed. The Bible says that all this is going to pass away in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I'm going to keep my eyes on him. hand, and I'm going to trust him, and God's going to bring us through it. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want to have knowledge, you want to have understanding of the things of God, fear the Lord. But fools despise wisdom and instructions. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5, my son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that you'd incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and searches for her as for hidden treasure, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Gary, did Jesus operate in the fear of the Lord?
Yes.
Absolutely. And one of the greatest verses we have is in Isaiah chapter 10. I think it's verse 2. Is it Isaiah 11? Boom, 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 boom. Isaiah 11. Let's just start with verse 1. Isaiah 11, 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Who are we talking about, Gary? Do you know?
I don't.
That's Jesus.
Okay.
Jesus is the seed of David, and Jesse was David's daddy. So he said, there shall come a stem out of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, which is David. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. Now listen to this, the spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Notice it's a spirit, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. What's the name of this show, Gary?
The Spirit of Faith.
The Spirit of Faith. So a spirit is something that is caught, not taught. When we talk about the spirit of faith, the spirit of faith is something that ends up coming out of you. It's not something that you do methodically. It's not something that you do out of reading. It's not something that you do because somebody taught you. It's something that comes out of you. It's something that's caught. It's like a whole paradigm shift. It's like when you're born again, you change. I mean, I remember I used to love to sin. I used to love to do all the stuff that sinners do, and I had no problem with it. I had no guilt of it. But when I came to Jesus and the insides changed, all of a sudden my desires changed. I didn't want to do the same thing anymore. And when you catch the spirit of faith, now faith begins to flow out of you. When you catch the spirit of the fear of the Lord, now you don't want to do things that you know are not pleasing to him. You don't want to do it because you don't want to be separated from his presence. You want to be in his presence. You want to be with him. You want him to be with you all the days of your life. And that's what makes it different. It's not being afraid of God necessarily. It is, but it's more than that. It's saying, I'm not willing to live without your presence. I'm not willing to live or do things that are going to take me out of your presence. Because if you don't catch that now, you're never going to catch it in all eternity. That's why right now is so important. We're on probation down here. Down here, God is saying, you need to understand these basic things. Everything's going to change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Very soon, all these things are going to change, but all you're going to do is continue to develop what has already begun in you. The Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And now what do we have to do? We have to learn to yield to the love of God, yield to the spirit of faith, yield to the spirit of the fear of the Lord. These are things we have to learn and walk in them as we walk with him. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Psalms Where did I leave off? Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Hebrews 13, 15, I think that's it. He says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Without holiness. Now, it's Proverbs. It's in Hebrews, rather, but I can't remember the verse. In Hebrews, he says that without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Think about that now. Come on, think about it for a minute. Without holiness, no one's going to see God. Now, what is holiness, Gary?
Faith?
Nope. Holy. What does it mean to be holy?
Pure, honest.
Pure.
Yeah.
Pure, honest. That's a great word right there. Honest. There's nothing false in God, Gary. There's zero lies. There's zero falseness in God. He's totally pure, totally honest, totally clean in every sense of the word. There's nothing dark in him. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there's no darkness in him at all. There's no even shadow of turning. Total purity. And he says that without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Well, where does holiness come from? It comes from the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, here's a great one. Write this down, saints. Proverbs 14, 27. Oh, this is so good. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. Let's read this in the New Living Translation. The fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain. It offers escape from the snares of death. The Passion Translation says, to worship God in wonder and awe opens a fountain of life within you. Now, remember, one of the words for the fear of the Lord is worship. To worship God in wonder and awe opens a fountain of life within you, empowering you to escape death's domain. It causes you to see things that you wouldn't normally see. When you're operating in the spirit of the fear of the Lord, you're going to see the traps that Satan has set. Satan has set traps to get you from being holy. He has set traps to get you to be separated from the presence of God. That's what he's trying to do. But the spirit of the fear of the Lord will show you where these traps are and empower us to escape death's domain. And I'm preaching to me, man. I'm not just preaching to you all. I'm preaching to me. We all have to operate in this together. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs your life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Proverbs 15, 16. Last one. We're going to get to your questions. It is much better to live simply surrounded in holy awe and worship of God than to have great wealth with a home full of trouble. Let me go back to the King James here. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. I got to read one more. Proverbs 19, 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied and untouched by evil. Man, I got so many more. I want to just keep reading them, but let me get to your questions and then we'll see if we have time and we'll come back. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Our first email here tonight is from our friend Karen. Karen says, Pastor, should we focus on the New Testament over the Old? Thank you. The short answer is yes. Do you discount the Old? No. He's the same God of the New Testament. He's the same God of the Old Testament. However, the New Testament is to us. The Old Testament is for us. So all the Word of God is for us because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. He's always the same. His Word is the same, but we're under a different covenant. So the word testament, Karen, means covenant. Covenant means a contract, a promise, and it's always ratified in blood. So the Old Testament was ratified in the blood of animals. The New Testament, now check this out, Gary, the New Testament is ratified in the blood of God.
Mm.
Who is God that shed his blood?
Jesus.
That's right. Jesus is God. And he shed his blood so that we would be in a covenant and we would be restored to right relationship and fellowship with God. Remember, relationship is who you are. Fellowship is your communication with God. Praise the Lord. Here, and I call you blessed in Jesus' name. This next email is from Glenn. Glenn says, Pastor, does the Bible actually tell us when Jesus knew that Judas was or would be the traitor? Well, we know that in John 14, when Jesus washed their feet and then ate with them the Last Supper, and then told the disciples, whoever dips his bread in the next time, this one will betray me. And that was Judas. And so Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. Did he know it before then? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he did or not. If he did, I don't believe the Bible tells us. Call you blessed, Glenn, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Jazz. Jazz says, hello, Pastor. We are new listeners from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Thank you. Praise God, Jazz. So glad to have you and whoever else is listening with you. We call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Eric. Eric says, Pastor, were there women following Jesus along with his disciples? Were any women considered his close disciples? Thank you. Absolutely. One that was extremely close, who had multiple demons in her, was Mary Magdalene. And she followed very close. Then there was another Mary. And then, of course, there was his mother, Mary. And so there were women that followed him. And as a matter of fact, the first person to witness Jesus raised from the dead and the first person to preach the gospel that Jesus was alive was Mary Magdalene, first one. And so absolutely. And then Paul also had women that were in the ministry and that followed him and that were ministers of the gospel in the New Testament. And so, you know, there's confusion sometimes about women in ministry. And the issue, very simply, Bishop Butler has a great book on it, by the way. You should get this book on Should Women Preach? And you can get it on, I believe it's in iBooks. It's on Amazon. And you can go to our website, wordoffaith.cc/e-store. wordoffaith.cc/e-store. And you can get a copy of that book. I think it's only like $4. And it'll really help you. And it'll help you understand. I've actually taught this book. It'll help you understand that women should be in ministry, but we have to understand that in Christ, there's neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, all are the same in Christ. And so when it comes to the ministry gifts, we don't look at the ministry gift as male or female. We look at the ministry gift as a child of God, a son of God, which is male or female, who is called into the ministry and becomes a gift of God to the body of Christ. So women can be pastors. The Bible doesn't say that they can't. Some will teach that women should not teach, but again, we're not, we have to separate women from a ministry gift. And my wife does a much better job teaching on this than I do. She's taught whole classes on it, and she has a really good understanding. But I really thank you, Eric, for your question. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Jim. Jim says, Pastor, did Jesus physically ascend up to the clouds when he left his disciples for the final time? Or did he just disappear? Thanks. They saw him rise. It's in Luke 24, verse 40-something. Luke 24, 40-something. And they saw Jesus ascend up. And then while they were gazing up into heaven, angel appeared. And the angel said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing to heaven? This same Jesus is going to return just like you saw him leave. And so he left up on the Mount of Olives, and he's going to return to the Mount of Olives. He will descend upon the Mount of Olives. Call you blessed, Jim, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Howard. Howard says, hi, Pastor John. How long have you been a pastor? May I ask what your formal education is? What is your denomination? Thank you. Love your show. Sure, you can ask. I am a graduate of the Bible Training Center, or Pistis School of Ministry, at Word of Faith. It was a two-year program, and I graduated in 2004. I've been in full-time ministry for 19 years as of last month. So 19 years and 1 month I've been in full-time ministry. Before that, I had studied biology, and I was a paramedic for 13 years before that. And but ministry training, I went through Bible school. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your question, Howard. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Charlie. Charlie says, hi, Pastor John. Israel trip, question mark. We've been talking about it for the last several weeks, Charlie. I'm glad you asked, though. We're going in March of 2024. It's all planned. It's ready to go. You can book it with the travel agent. Go to wordoffaith.cc/Israel. wordoffaith.cc/Israel. I'll be there. Bishop Butler will be there. It's going to be an amazing trip. You don't want to miss Israel in Jesus' name. Love to have you come, Charlie. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Karen. Karen says, Pastor, Christ. And it's got a picture, and it says these words, only two defining forces have ever offered to die for you, Jesus Christ and the American soldier. One died for your soul, and the other died for your freedom. And those in Canada and other countries, that would also include soldiers that have laid down their life for your freedoms. And certainly, I'm a citizen of Canada as well, and those patriots laid down their life when they joined the Canadian Army and military, praise God. And same thing here in the United States. And I know several soldiers and several veterans, and we thank God for our veterans. We just celebrated Memorial Day here this past Monday. Call you blessed, Karen, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Ann. Ann says, Pastor, did Jesus and his followers eat meat? Great question. Absolutely, they did. They ate lamb. They ate fish. What else would they have eaten back then? Certainly bread, lentils, corn. But what other meat? I'm thinking goat. I don't know if goat's kosher or not. Certainly lamb and fish. And I think beef too, but I don't think there was a lot of beef. It had to be kosher, and the Bible describes what kind of meat you can eat and what kind of meat you can't eat. And one way to understand it is it could not be a hoofed animal. So, they ate venison for sure. I don't know how much venison you'll find in Israel. But maybe back then you'd find more, certainly the early disciples. Oh, my wife's texting me, quail. Of course, quail came down from heaven. Praise God. Amen. So thank you for that, Ann. Call you blessed. Now, when the Bible talks about meat, many times it's not talking about beef or flesh. It's talking about any type of nourishment when the Bible talks about meat. Amen. Call you blessed, Ann, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Andrew. Andrew says, high spirit of faith, eternal life. Brain cells die, skin cells die, even hair cells die, but fat cells must have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because they seem to have eternal life. That's very funny. Very cute. Praise God. You broke up our seriousness for a minute. Andrew, I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Last email of the night is from our friend Frank. Frank says, hi to Spirit of Faith. This is a funny joke. It's a picture of two men sitting on the side of the Red Sea, and one is fishing in the water. The other one, the seas have parted, and he's fishing on dry ground. And it says, this is not funny, Moses. Fishing. That's how it's when you have a serious competitor. So Moses split the sea so that he'd catch the fish, and this other guy was fishing on dry ground. That's hilarious. Praise God. All right, saints, it's been such a privilege to be with you. Don't forget to check out our website, Spirit of Faith, radio.com, spiritoffaithradio.com. You can get all the archives. You can go back and listen to the messages from the past. Several of you missed last week because it was a holiday. So go back and listen to last Monday, spiritoffaithradio.com. You can also find it on Facebook at Spirit of Faith. And praise God. Let me just find who's listening tonight real quick. Are you doing the outro song, Gary?
Yeah, that's okay.
Give me just one more minute here. Quick shout out to, got several people watching. Joan, Compton, Thelma, John, Mike, Joan, Gilda, Garfield, Adeline, Denise, Ron, Cheryl, Noreen, Minister Ulette, Susan, my brother-in-law, Joe, Joan, Andrew, Sister Wendy, and everybody else listening. I call y'all blessed. Can't wait to be with y'all next week. Until then, Gary and I want to remind you that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.
I'm still in your hands. This is my comfort.